You're listening to WCOM FM LP 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station. The comments, views, and opinions of this program do not necessarily represent the views of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's show, I want to continue the conversation and the discussion I started last week on being in the middle of the in-between and dealing with uncertainty. This episode is about applying some of the elements that we talked about at the end of last week's show. So let me go over those. We were talking about swatting the SWOT. And what is SWOT? S-W-O-T. It's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And last week I challenged you to SWOT it with strategic weapons and tactics. And so SWOT typically is a military or police group that are specialized in responding to critical situations. They're only called out when something's going wrong, when something's at risk, something's dangerous. And so when we say SWAT the SWAT, we're talking about applying the specialized weapons, strategic weapons, and tactics to critical situations that require different approach to what's going on. It's not the same old, same old. Things are changing, and it's a critical, crucial point for your business. And that's what we're talking about today. But I also discussed last week turning the SWOT backwards. And so that's the strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I want you to start with the threats and analyzing them. What are those threats? Are they? Are they specific to your business, to your industry, to your location, to your region, to the nation, or are they global? So like COVID is all of those. It has been an impact on us globally because we have foreign markets and the things that happened with the stock market and people shutting things down and countries not being able to travel to and from. There were so many things that were global. And there was our national response, and there's been our state and local response. And so all of those kind of things come into play on our businesses and our industries in different ways. Some businesses were affected positively because they were online, they had the ability to deliver. So let's think Zoom and Amazon, UPS, FedEx, these businesses that were able to ramp up and respond in the crisis and continue doing more of what they were great at, their core competencies. And so when we're looking at businesses, we look at things through the lens of our business, but we also need to look larger. We need to look at the threats from the global ones and how they influence our customers, how they influence our suppliers, our labor force, our government, the regulations, all of those kind of things. And so we're going to look at those threats, and ideally we're going to look at those threats and come up with solutions and turn those threats into things we can mitigate or things we can remedy or things we can leverage and turn into opportunities for our businesses. So if our core competency is technology and developing solutions for our clients, whether that is an application, a piece of software, a new tool of some sort in the software or technology realm, maybe it's robotics, maybe it's artificial intelligence, maybe it is like Zoom having video conferences and connecting people across the technology platforms or WebEx or any of the other products that are out there. That enablement, that application of our core competency to a new need or an increased need in the marketplace is an opportunity that arose out of a threat. So whether it's a service, it's a product, it's a method of delivery, it's logistics, whatever it is that our business's core competency is, we need to assess those threats and look to see if we can turn them into opportunities for our business to compete in the marketplace, to create new products and services and deliver them to meet that need at a price point that our customers can afford at this point in time, and that includes a profit for us, and that the cash can be collected. And so we're looking at that SWOT backwards. Instead of going strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, we want to go threats, opportunities from those threats, then look at our strengths, and then look at our weaknesses. And all right, I'm going to say we're going to TOWS it, T-O-W-S. We're going to go threats, we're going to go opportunities, we're going to look at our weaknesses. And in this case, we're going to try to avoid doing anything that is putting us in a position to use our weaknesses, and we're going to move on to our strengths because we have limited time, we have limited capacity, we have limited resources, whether that's because our business has had to scale down or temporarily be disrupted, or whether we're scaling up our business because there's so much demand for what we're doing. So whether we're an airline and have less demand, hotels, hospitality, travel, and having less demand and having to look at new business models or restaurants, or we're on the up end of everything for Zoom, WebEx, delivery services, those kind of things. And so we want to take those threats, turn them into opportunities. We want to downplay our weaknesses and play to our strengths and our core competencies to revive and revitalize our businesses or take our businesses to the next level of growth. And so when we're looking at this, we want to look at this from a perspective of what is our strategy, what tactics are we going to deploy, and I want to look at it primarily today from the businesses that have had a downturn, have either been closed extensively, have had to scale down, who are struggling to turn it around, and we're going to focus on being in the middle of the in-between and performing CPR on the business. And we've talked about CPR before, and in the terms of our core CPR, it is about preserving cash, preserving profitability, and our revenues. And so we don't want revenues that don't produce cash and don't produce profits at this point, because all revenues are not created equal. And there is a thought to this, that there is a justification that even if we could just generate revenue that would cover our costs, that would be break even or just cover our fixed costs, then we're in a better position than if we've completely scaled down. And that's going to be on a business to business by business decision as to whether that's a good approach for your business. And how you make that decision is by looking at seeing what would happen if you were making sales and preserving your resources, your time and your capacity, and scaling down further and scaling up whenever you get a profitable sale in the bin. And that's something that isn't an analysis of your opportunities in the context of other opportunities you might want to pursue. And so we are talking about making a new strategic and tactical plan for the business. And that may encompass these new opportunities for creating new technology, new solutions, new services, new products, or taking existing technologies, combining them to make a different product offering or service offering for your customers, than maybe your current customers, or could be different customers than you've been working with before. And so I'm going to give you a couple quotes. So one of the quotes I always go back to with clients, because it is so apropos, is that Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And too many of the companies that I'm talking with coming through COVID think, well, I'm just going to do more of what we've always done, and things are going to turn around, and it's going to start working now. And in the new world, why would it start working when the things as they were may have been slow, may have been down for you, or just you may have been succeeding, quote unquote, strictly because there was so much demand out there that you became the best alternative that was available to meet the demand that was out there. Not that you had the best business model, not that you had the best products or services, but that you succeeded because there was just so much demand and so much upside out there in the marketplace. But when COVID happened, or when the fires in California, or the hurricanes in the Gulf, or any of the number of things, snowstorms in Colorado, you know, any of those things that are out there that disrupted your business, hurricanes, fires, floods, famines, whatever, that the rocks, the issues, the cracks in the foundation of your business come to the surface when all the upside, all of the market positivity and growth that pulls everyone along with it disappeared. And so it's like we're kind of saying, like, all boats rise to a higher level when the water level rises, right? So if you're looking at the tide coming in the bay on the coast somewhere, and you see all the boats rise in the water as more water comes in under them. And that's kind of what a growing, booming marketplace does for all businesses. But when that's suddenly ripped away and there's no time to respond, we see the rocks that are underlying the water. We see the crack in the foundation. We see the leak in the hull of the boat. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. We're in the middle of the in-between, and those levels of uncertainty have given rise to visibility to the issues in the businesses. And so we're going to look at doing things differently, because if I hear, and I've heard it for years inside of corporations and with prospective clients, is that we've always done it this way. We don't want to change. Well, if you've always done it that way and it worked then, but you're doing it that way now and it's not working, and it hasn't really been working when we analyze your numbers for quite a while, then that could be a great epitaph for your business's tombstone. Because just because it's the way you've always done it and it worked at some time in the past to some degree does not mean it is an option for you to continue and have positive results with it going forward. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results isn't sane. It isn't logical. And so we want to be sure that we are focusing in on what is working and being honest about it. And while it may not be comfortable to get out of what you've always done, now is the time to look at it as an opportunity to take your business, retool it, redesign it, re-energize it, refocus it, and redirect your resources into having a big impact and a big result. So the biggest threat to businesses that I'm seeing, that I'm talking with, and that colleagues are talking with, is that there is a denial to some extent that things are going to get back to the way they used to be. This upheaval, this monumental change, is going to have permanent, long-reaching impacts. We're seeing bankers and everyone, and real estate people are talking about how people are giving up their corner offices, their big office buildings. They're looking for smaller facilities for just a few centralized people that are going to go back to the office. And they're going in and they're looking at finding remote options. What does that look like? How does their business model function? How are they going to deal with performance? And so after this momentous change in how we're doing business and how we're thinking about doing business, and recognizing that there have been positive outcomes to this, that people can be productive, you don't have to have a multi-billion dollar business building in New York City that you can't send your people into, you can't do business out of, those kind of things. And your people might be happier and have a lower cost of living working in Raleigh, North Carolina. And if everyone's remote, why does it matter where they're remote from? We've heard people saying locally that they hear that by first quarter of 2021, you know, just 3 to 6 months from now, there's going to be a downturn in the values of properties. There's going to be a lot of people giving up their space. And so there's going to be some bargain basement sales on some real estate and existing buildings, especially possibly the older ones. And so we're looking at people rethinking their business models and rethinking the assumptions. And that also means we have to think about doing things differently ourselves. And so we're going to be competing for resources in times where resources are going to be difficult to pull in, difficult to afford and maximize, and possibly even difficult to manage in our traditional sense, because people are coming out of the offices where we see them on a day-to-day basis, and we've been paying them by the hour, or we've been paying them by their visibility and their participation, and instead we're going to be paying them on based on results, because we can't manage them hour to hour, day to day, by FaceTime. And so one strategy that we hear a lot about is we're just going to wait and see what happens. We're not going to make any decisions till we wait and see what happens. Well, that decision, you are making a decision, and that's to do nothing and just let your business fall victim to whatever you've been doing or not doing to this point, and whatever the effects that all of this is going to have on it. If you're not acting and being proactive, you're by default accepting whatever happens and whatever that implication is. So if you're not taking action to address core infrastructure items, so maybe shifting how you're managing your internet security, your information technology security with remote workers, and how that is impacting it, and what are the policies and procedures about using their personal devices. And what are those personal devices? And if you're just saying, well, you know, we're just going to wait until after COVID to deal with this, Well, what is after COVID and when is that, and how at risk is your business for more exposure because people are logging in remotely? Do you have everything in place that you need to protect your business? And so doing nothing may actually create more uncertainty and more risk for their future than if you're developing a whole arsenal of strategic and tactical weapons, and if you're being proactive and analyzing where you're spending your money, whether that is office space, whether that's, you know, needing to analyze your IT security platforms such as firewall, use of devices, all of those kind of things. And so we want you to be thinking about how your business needs to transform to be able to scale up or scale down around your core business, around your core competencies, and those opportunities that we're identifying through that TOWS, T-O-W-S analysis, by looking at those threats. We don't want at this point in time to create even more risks for our business just because we are reluctant to make decisions because we don't know what the future looks like. We never know what the future looks like. We know maybe with more certainty and a range of predictability. I think I used this example last week, but you know, when the weatherman makes a forecast, it's a prediction based on probabilities. And he says it's 90% chance of rain. Well, that means 90% of the time under the conditions that they're expecting, it's going to rain. But that doesn't mean it's going to rain on your street. It means it's going to rain in your area. And there's been huge storms around my house a lot of times, and you can almost see them from the deck, but they're not right. It's not raining on my deck. And so where are these probabilities coming? What is predictive? We have the tendency to believe that on a day-to-day basis, we know more than what we actually do about what the future is going to hold, because we make assumptions that what has always been going on is always going to continue on. And COVID has taught us that there are unexpected things that are going to happen that are monumental incidents and events. So that's fires in California. That, like I said, that's hurricanes, it's floods, it's all kinds of things that are out there that traditionally are regional, are localized, but they have broad range events when you have millions of acres burning in California and the smoke and the fallout from that and what people can do on top of COVID, on top of hurricanes in other parts of the country. And so our systems, our processes, everything gets impacted with ripple effects. And so let's talk about building that arsenal, finding those tools that in the middle of this in-between situation that we're going to deal with. So the biggest thing we can do is to understand the threats and how each threat impacts our business and businesses that we do business with, our customers, whether that's consumers or that's businesses, or in some case, you know, we say business to business, we say business to consumer, but there are more and more businesses that sell to businesses that the actual end user are individual consumers. So I'm calling that business to business to consumer, because the buyer is a business. The consumer of that product or that solution, that tool, is actually a customer of that business or someone within that organization. I see this a lot with nonprofits where the sponsors are the buyer or the funder of whatever program they're supporting, but they're not the one that consumes what has been purchased. And so we want to look at that. So we want to have an analysis that looks at our businesses from the best perspective, the broadest perspective, with the opportunity to recognize the threats can become opportunities to transform our business, to develop new solutions that we can take and use in our businesses, but can also take to the marketplace for other businesses like ours that need the same solution. We need to learn to leverage our strengths. We want to maximize our resources by focusing more narrowly and on your core competencies, your strengths. And you want to think from the perspective of what do we have to do right now, that CPR, to intervene to keep the business alive. And then we want to think about in the short term, that 3 to 6 month period, what is it going to look like? What things are coming into play? What ripple effects are still going to be there? So as we said here in the United States, we not only are still dealing with COVID, we're dealing again with the California fires, a hurricane hit, a second hurricane heading towards the Gulf Coast. We have all of these things going on within regions of our country, but we have something else that's a national impact, and that's the election coming up in November. So we have some short-term uncertainty about what the future looks like from an administration, a regulatory, and all of the ripple effects of who will be running the country and making decisions on everything from what businesses will have to be doing to regulatory issues, things about tax policies, things that are going to affect the long-term viability and market opportunities for our businesses and our personal lives. So when we're going through this, I like to say we're going through a learn, do, act, assess mode. And you're going to say, wait a minute, do and act, that's the same thing. But let me talk to you about why it isn't exactly the same thing. So learning, we're going to learn about the marketplace. We're going to learn about the changes. We're going to learn about what people are predicting about the economy, about regulations, about what will happen under one administration versus another. Will things continue on? What if the stock market drops? What if we have more natural disasters? What we want to learn about what's going on in our industries and in every aspect. We want to learn local. We want to learn state, we want to learn regional, we want to look national, and we want to look globally to see what are these new business models that are emerging and why some businesses are thriving in their ability to pivot away from what they were doing and do things differently. And how is that going to translate? And what do we do with that information? So we're going to learn about what's going on. We're going to learn about how it's going to impact our business. We're going to learn about options and what people are doing. And then we're going to do. We're going to do things like develop strategies. We're going to develop tactics. We're going to look at our options for engaging proactively to create a response to mitigate, to eradicate, remedy, things that we can do. We'll look at new things, so mitigation type things, such as what did our insurance policies look like before this? What are they going to look like now? What about business disruption? Was this covered? What about earthquakes? We've had a few earthquakes here on the East Coast, which people are not used to. And so what does that mean? Do we have policies that cover that? And if we do, what about mudslides? What about fires? What about things that are natural disasters? What's covered? What's not? And do we have to think about that? What about disruptions from hackers, ransomware, those types of IT type issues? What about intellectual property infringement? We're going to go through all of these different challenges and see how our businesses are competing for them, about them, and dealing with it. And then we're going to act on those strategic and tactical decisions that we've made about the business and doing things differently. We're not going to passively accept whatever happens. We're not going to do nothing. We're going to look at what cash we have, how our profitability and our revenues are doing, what resources we have, who are our crucial people and team that has to be in our business to enable us to stay in business. And we're going to analyze that and make sure that we know what's going on. So we're learning as much as we can about the situation, about predictable factors going forward of what could happen and look at scenarios. And we're going to play like the weatherman. We're going to look at probabilities. We're going to look at possibilities and options. And then we're going to eliminate alternatives based on what we are good at and what we aren't good at. And so one of our tactics can be looking at teaming with organizations that have complementary skill sets. And so we might have a superpower of being fantastic at sales. And so we're out there and we're able to sell ice to an Eskimo, a bridge, you know, a bridge in the over the ocean, you know, swamp property to somebody. It's all of those different kinds of things that a great salesperson can do. But we may not have the best product or service or technology right now to do that, but someone else does. And we may find a technology organization that is fantastic at coming up with a solution. They have the best solution to deal with some aspect of this new world we're in of remote working and things. And let's say it's a remote performance management tool. And so because everybody's working from home, we're not just going to look at keystrokes or how much FaceTime they're in front of the camera on their computer. We want something that is measurable, and we have some kind of technology that's going to let us do that. And this company has it, but they don't know how to get it into the marketplace. And so our ability to sell, and that being our superpower, as I like to call it, and their superpower being this wild, new, innovative way to measure performance for remote workers, we can come together and we can team, and we both now have a new opportunity to be successful and do what our best thing is, our best strength is. And so we're looking, what are we going to do immediately? What do we need to do short term, and what do we need long term to preserve the viability of our business? And so that's what we're looking at. That's what we're trying to identify and working through that toes. We're going from those threats to the opportunities to the weaknesses to the strengths, and we're going to play to our strengths, and we're going to pursue those opportunities. We're just not going to passively sit here and do nothing. And I want to talk about that. I don't want to call it a strategy, but I suppose it is to some extent for some businesses because of fear, because they don't actually know how to respond and they feel disempowered, unempowered, however we want to say this, because they're just going to wait and see what happens before they make any decisions about anything. And one of my colleagues was talking about this, that every business he called on about his services said, well, you know, we probably need to do something, but we're going to wait till after COVID. And what is after COVID? We're going to wait until what? Till everything happens, till we have no options because we've run out of time, we've run out of money, we don't have sales, someone hacks our computers. We're going to wait until some other major catastrophe happens, or we're going to wait till something settles down and we have a new normal. We don't know when that new normal is going to come in. And so we're challenging you. I'm challenging you right now to say that one of the worst things you can do for your business is to do nothing and just wait and see what's happened. Because that means you are surrendering the power to everything and everyone that is out there doing something. Your competitors are not sitting there doing nothing and waiting to see. If they are, well, God bless them too, because just waiting and letting things dictate to you what's going to happen to your business is waving a white flag and surrendering. And that epitaph of "we've always done it this way" can be joined by an epitaph for your business of, well, we've always done it this way and we always just wanted to wait and see what would happen. Or we were afraid to take action in case we made the wrong decision. I used to say this in corporate all the time. I would rather apologize for making an informed, proactive decision and not getting the same result that I thought I was going to get than just letting things happen and know that nothing is going to result because I didn't take any action. I would rather make a less than optimal decision on partial information and make it as informed and wise a decision looking at the options, then just wait and see what happens, because I want some control, some influence, some input into what is happening to my business and my life, and that is being proactive. I'm learning. I'm going to learn everything on a daily basis. I don't know how many people I talk to about new trends, about financial markets, about access to capital, about the impact on minority and women-owned business for what's going on now, and failure rates of up to 50% are expected of black enterprises, of black-owned business. And that's the term that one of the local experts leading one of the initiatives was talking about. She says, we're talking about black enterprises, not just minority enterprises, but black specifically, that up to 50% of the small minority black businesses will not come through the COVID epidemic, pandemic implications. Why? Capital access. Why? Their markets have gone away. Why? They were on the verge of having issues to begin with. They were hamstrung, strangled by not having the resources, by having lower margin businesses possibly, by missing some element of how to be in business and grow their businesses, and not having resources to pull to call on and to team with to make that, because they were already in vulnerable communities, historically underutilized business zones, those aspects of being in business. And so for me, I'm constantly monitoring, I'm constantly reading if there's regulations pending. And it is, for me, it's not a joy to read tax code or tax legislations and proposals, but I need to do it. So there are a lot of things I do as a business owner, as a business expert, that aren't fun, but they're necessary. That's making sure my accounting is up to date, making sure I know where the profitability and things are going, making sure all the ducks in a row, that my social media people are doing what they're supposed to, that my website people are doing what they're supposed to, and shifting resources around to new priorities. I have spent more time and money during COVID, during this impact period, this in the middle of the in-between period, on making sure that my websites are updated, that my business programs are updated, that I've gotten in new software that makes me more efficient and able to do these podcasts, these radio shows as podcasts, so that I can get to the radio station and not have to deal with the radio station was essentially shut down for several months and is still limited access. So it's all of those kind of things that we have to adapt and make selective investments. What did I do, and you know, where did the funds come from? Am I going to delay maybe filing copyrights and trademark filings to shift the resources into other ventures and other products and projects? Yes, it's a trade-off. No business has unlimited resources, unlimited time, and so we're always making decisions based on what we have to do to preserve our ability to do the best things, to use our superpowers, to use our strengths and pursue new opportunities. And that may mean, in some instances, where you're not billing as many hours because you're building something new. And so in the long term, it's going to give you a more permanent, continuous, less vulnerable revenue stream. And that may be something you want to look at. It may mean going back and doing things that helped you build your business 20 years ago in a new way. For me, it means I'm recording new videos because the technology has advanced so much that when I look back at my younger self, the quality of the video, the sound, all of that can be improved so greatly that it's worth the time and the investment to update things and produce new videos and new materials and look for new markets for those materials. And so we are out there, we need to learn, we need to do, we need to look for new strategic tools and to take on new tactics, spend more time in social media, looking at investing in maybe the premium levels of some social media things. It may be you want to do some advertising online where your customers would be. You may want to write more articles or hire a ghostwriter if you're not a writer. You're going to take actions that you may not have thought about before, and that requires us to be in a constant learning mode. And again, I know I've said this on so many of the programs, but being a learning person as an individual and having an organization that is in learning mode makes you more successful, makes you more capable of responding, and makes you more proactive in what you are doing. Because if you are learning, you also tend to be in the mode of wanting to apply what you're learning. And so you're not going to take a passive position, because learners are always engaged in what's next, what does the future hold, and how do I leverage that new information and that new capability, and what does it mean for me and my business? So thinking through things, looking to improve things, looking at new ways of doing it, looking at automation, looking at software. We have to assess those things. Is it cheaper to get a piece of software that may be, let's say, a $1,500 investment? Or is it better to have a part-time virtual admin that's doing some aspect of your business for you at $10,000 a year? It's not just the price, it's the capacity. And maybe you want that personal touch versus sending out email after email. You might want someone to be making phone call after phone call, because a voice over the phone may be much more effective when people are wanting to connect and feel connected to another person in this time where things have become more isolated because we've had to stay home for so long. And there's less of that now, but parts of the country are still returning to normal or not able to go to restaurants, to go out and have meetings. I talked to one hotel person a few weeks ago, and they were talking about October of 2021 before their hotel would be having events of at least 100 people because of the regulations in the area, because of liability, because of the requirements for food prep, and a whole bunch of things coming together. And so they're looking at their business model and saying, okay, what do we do? We have 20% capacity at best for our hotel rooms. We can host multiple small events of 25 people or less, but we're putting them in a room that held 50 or 100 people and we're spacing them out. And how do we do that? And how do we make a profit in it? And so every business is going to have to dig in and assess. You're going to have to do an analysis. And if not you, then it might be coming together with other businesses via Zoom, via, you know, I do it with small groups right now. They can't afford consulting one-on-one right now, but they can come into a peer group that's completely confidential, and it's advisory board, a peer group, a mastermind group. It's facilitated, and we're coming together on a limited basis to address specific issues that each of these businesses have. And so, you know, it might be a $500 or a $1,000 investment for all of the groups coming together over a 6-month period versus, you know, it could have been $6,000, $10,000, $20,000 if someone has to come in and do it and spend, you know, hundreds of hours working on a project with them to do the analysis for them. So they're willing to learn, they're willing to use their time, and they have the time to spend, as does their team. One company I was talking to has taken the time, again, like my business did. We've upgraded the website. They hadn't done a website update in 10 years. They went through and upgraded software. They've been cleaning files and sorting through, you know, documentation. They've been improving all kinds of internal processes and things because they wanted to keep their people employed. They had PPP funds. They had idle funds. And so they were going to keep their team there, but they were going to be positioning their business to have more capability and be modernized going forward in new marketing, new visibility with the website, social media, SEO optimization, all of these things that when their customers come back, which are retail establishments, service companies, the things that they're working with, when those customers and the market starts lifting back up, they're going to be able to turn all of that new, innovative, new way of doing business to make them more efficient and more focused and more targeted into, you know, a bumper crop of customers, because they know their customers are going to come back if their customers survive. So one of the other things they're doing is reaching out to their customers to see how they can help. It's that phone call to say, hey, we're here. We realize, you know, you can't do business right now just because of things are wrong. We just wanted to talk with you and see what resources we can help you with at this point in time. And that one of those resources sometimes is putting them in touch with a person like me who can help them walk through and say, okay, what is my strategy? What are my tactics going to be to deal with the fact that my hotel is at 20% capacity, or my restaurant can only seat 40 people where I used to seat 200? All of these different things that businesses are dealing with and feel overwhelmed with at this point. It's like eating an elephant. It's one bite at a time, right? And so that's how we address this. We start by getting into the analysis of what is going on around us, what the experts are saying about the economy, about how the election here in the States could affect everything going forward, what regulations are pending. There's just so much to consider, but we look at it element by element and look to see what is going on and who can we talk to, whether that is commercial real estate people, residential real estate people, economic development people, bankers. You want to talk to your banker, your wealth management person. You want to talk to your website person, any vendor that you have, any service provider you have. You want to talk to your customers and get that information and make that connection and really listen and make notes about what they're seeing and what they're feeling. And look for those opportunities and from the threats that they're seeing and see how you're going to be able to respond to those and be in a position to put yourself in a position to succeed whenever this after is, whenever we're getting through this in the middle of the in-between. We will get there. We just don't know how long this period is lasting. And how will we know when we've come through it? Is it a vaccine that's coming through? Is it that people just return to normal and COVID becomes a seasonal flu, for want of a better way to think of it, or the common cold? We just have to be able to assess and adapt. And if we're not doing that, if we're not being proactive, then we're really putting ourselves and our businesses and our teams at a disadvantage. So we have to think immediate, short term, and long term, and look at those implications and those impacts. And what are some of the tactics that can be out there? People are still doing business, and some of those tactics may be leveraging social media where you never did it before. It may be going back and looking through your Rolodex. Someone mentioned that today, or your contacts, or your LinkedIn, or your Reddit, or all the things that are out there in social media, your business Facebook group. Whatever it is that you have out there and that you were doing on a small scale, it may be time to ramp it up. I made a complete shift from how I was doing CRM and email marketing into a new tool and new products and how we're doing it. We're doing a lot more surveys to connect and find out what people's issues are with things. Doing it on behalf of my business and behalf of our clients' businesses. And so it's really about thinking differently. It's about looking at old tools and using them in new ways. It's about getting new versions of old tools, and not being afraid to try something different. And I've seen people get, you know, banned from Twitter, or their accounts suspended on Twitter and other things. And the other day, I didn't get my account suspended from LinkedIn, but I have maximized my search capability in the free version of LinkedIn. And I was kind of calling a friend and saying, have you ever heard of that? And she's like, no, I hadn't. And so it's just an interesting thing that it's like, LinkedIn's message said, you appear to be doing a commercial endeavor. And so you don't have any search capability, and it will renew again on October 1st. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a business in what I would consider a business platform, LinkedIn. And of course I'm using it for a commercial endeavor. I wouldn't be on LinkedIn if I wasn't engaged in business at some level, either whether that would be someone looking for a job in a business or a business looking to connect with other businesses. And I have a lot of things going on, and so I was looking for different types of connections and going out there and connecting with people for those levels of expertise around diversity, and around several other projects. And so it was an interesting aha. I can't continue to use this product as the main tool without upgrading to the next level. But then I looked at it and it's like, okay, but that's not even going to this. It's looking at one of their services that they're driving you towards. And so I have to rethink how I use LinkedIn for my business and figure out what aspect of it and what version of what service they have that fits into my objectives before I invest in it, whether that's more search capability, whatever that is. And so it's an interesting thing that on a daily basis we learn something new, something that we have to take into consideration and look at changing our social media strategy or our tactics and how we're using that social media in order to engage and maximize what we're doing. So some interesting things I've also observed about established businesses, large and small, that are struggling. Needed some things done around the house and had to order some supplies and went to one of the big box retail stores locally that had what I needed to be informed that I had to come and pick them up myself. They weren't going to deliver them for me. And they gave some kind of song and dance about it being a new corporate policy. Well, tell me that there's a corporate policy and then I'm going to call corporate, which is what I did. And I called the corporation headquarters and they assured me that there was no policy about that, about deliveries. And maybe it was just confusion that they didn't have enough product. And no, the corporate checked and yes, they had it on hand. And they said they'd get back to me in a second. And they left me on hold for a little bit exploring and analyzing what was going on. And they came back and they said, sorry, ma'am, we're not sure what the issue was, but not only do we have it in stock, we're going to help you place the order right now to make sure it gets ordered and delivered. So if I compare what corporate said versus what the local store said, Corbett said the product is available. It is deliverable. You can order it. You can pay with it, pay the way you want it. And not only can you order it now, we will guarantee delivery 2 days from now. And so you will have it in time for your construction crew to come in and do what they're going to do. Versus the local store, who basically said, we're not going to deliver it. You need to rent a truck and come and haul this block yourself. And, oh, we'll put it by the curb, but you'll have to put it in the truck, et cetera, et cetera. And when I asked them, did they not want my business? Oh, yeah, we want your business, but you have to do it our way. And that certainly is not an option. And here was corporate anxious to keep my business and saying, I'm not sure why these obstacles are putting in your way. And knowing that their stores are struggling as a business model, there's a challenge for large box retailers. And so when you look at it, maybe it's a small order, but how many small orders of $1,000 or so has the local store turned away because of whatever logic they thought how it was going to save them money or whatever? And then on the flip side is trying to find a construction crew to do what I needed done here has taken almost 6 months. Started looking right about the time COVID hit. And 10 companies were supposed to quote, 2 scheduled, 1 actually showed, and today they started the project. And they appeared to be doing a good job at this point. But when there is business out there and you're not pursuing that business, or when people come to your business to do business with you and you put every obstacle in their way and basically tell them, we don't want your business because we want you to do business the way we want you to do it. That is an issue that is never good at any time. And it begs the question, how do you think you're saving your business when you're turning away good business and good customers? And again, in this day and age, worth of social media, with connections, with people having platforms to let people know how badly they are treated or how poor the service is, etc. You can't afford one negative occurrence with a customer or a prospect. You have to be able to have your team ready to do business and understand the impact. They have to be empowered. They have to be proactive. And if there is some self-imposed constraint on how your business is doing, then it needs to be one that is market justified. And you need to analyze it. And so part of your strategic tool set, part of your tactical approach to whatever this current situation is and how you're going to take your business into the future has to be a plan. It has to mean that you have revisited your purpose, your business, your focus, and you've created a new mission statement. You've created a new way to analyze performance and track performance and get your people, your team to engage with the customer and the prospect well. You have to know what everything is going on in your marketplace. What are your competitors who are doing? You need to do your research. You need to dig into everything you possibly can to learn what others are doing and how they're thriving in this time of being in the middle of the in-between. We're always in the middle of the in-between something. We're in between elections. And I swear we no sooner get one group elected and like 3 months later they're talking about, well, in the next election. We're in a perpetual cycle of elections and people focusing on getting elected instead of serving. And I argue that politicians and businesses, the more focused you are on serving and delivering value and keeping your promises, the more likely you are to get reelected, the more likely you are to be the business of choice when someone is looking for your product, your service, your technology. You're going to be at the top of their mind when they need something on someone that they trust and can depend on. You need to take your history and your company story and refresh it and bring it current and understand how the TOES policy is working. You need to understand what it's going to take to develop a strategy, to work, to go forward, to do something different. Because if nothing else is true, Our world today is different than it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago. And what else is true is that our world will continue to change and to evolve. We will be vulnerable to sudden, unexpected natural disasters, man-made occurrences, changes in administrations and regulations, tax codes, and any number of things. We'll be looking at businesses who took PPP money and idle funds and have commitments related to those funds for years to come, for getting through audit periods and dealing with tax implications. At the state and federal levels, the rules are different in most states on how things will be treated. And so there were decisions made in the heat of the moment to get the access to the funds, to go through that immediate emergency period thinking it won't last that long. And now we don't know how long it will last and what the implications will be. And so 2020 will have long-reaching implications for our businesses, for our world. Some good, some bad. And those implications weren't just strictly COVID. They're the riots, the protests, the breaking of windows, the defunding of the police forces. If we have only to look at the business community in parts of Portland, in Seattle, in Chicago, in downtown Raleigh, in LA, in San Francisco, in Austin, in small towns and big cities across our country and across the world, to know that the world has changed and will continue to change. And if we don't take action, if we don't fight back, if we don't preserve the capitalist system, and we're suddenly in a Marxist system where the value of property and individuality and the right to self-determination no longer exists, what will our businesses look like? Will we be the next Venezuela, where people were successful, where people had an opportunity, where capitalism was raising people out of poverty as it has around the world? Instead, they are now struggling to eat, to have medicines, to live, and certainly for freedom. We're talking about a world that is changing and will continue to change for a lot of reasons, whether that's philosophical perspectives, ideological beliefs, the uninformed giving rise to violence and endangering the businesses. It is heartbreaking to look at businesses around the country that have been burned out and destroyed, not because of anything they did, but just because of where they were and that people didn't value what they had done. And people will say it's only property destruction. Well, no. If you spent 40 years building a business and it was uninsured because you didn't have a policy against riots, that covered riots and those kind of disturbances, and so your insurance isn't going to pay for your business that was burned down due to arson. It's not going to replace the inventory that was stolen and the windows that were broken. Then, well, it's a new world, and it is a life of 40 years of building value that you can't get back. So don't tell me when someone destroys a business that it's just property. Yes, they didn't lose their life, but they lost their livelihood. And so the world is different and will continue to be different, and we have to understand that. We can't be an ostrich with our head in the sand and our behinds in the air. We have to have each other's backs. We have to be coming together to do things differently. We have to be there to team up, to be supportive, to look at different options, and to know how to protect our physical presence of our business, our virtual presence, our teams, our livelihoods. And that requires us to learn. It requires us to think, to do, to act, to plan, to assess, to reach out, to do things differently, and to think differently, and to cling to, well, I'm going to say it, to our faith, to our families, to our friends, and to our freedoms. Because no country is perfect, and no system of building a livelihood of capitalism or anything else is perfect, because they're human systems. You know, I'm going to argue that capitalism is the best option that we have for freedom, for financial independence, for business ownership, and for the ability to have some self-determination, financial freedom, freedom to practice our faith, to be in business, and to do business the way we choose. That's where we're at today. And until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM 103.5 LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station. And until next time, be safe, be thinking, be learning, and be focused on the important things.